Now to the US, and the Minnesota Attorney General is expected to soon announce additional charges will be laid against all of the police officers that were present at the death of George Floyd. Derek Chauvin, the officer seen kneeling on Mr. Floyd's neck, has already been charged, but the state will decide whether the other three officers who were videoed standing next to Mr. Chauvin will also face criminal charges. Now, ahead of the announcement, Benton Crump, the lawyer for Mr. Floyd's family, outlined what the family wanted to see happen.
Obviously, as the police chief said, these officers are complicit by their silence, but we now know, based on the audio from their body cam video, that they also are accomplices because their failure to act when they knew that they did not have a pulse. Remember, one officer said he doesn't have a pulse. Maybe we should turn him over on his side. However, Officer Chauvin said, no, we're going to keep him in that position. To us, that is intent.
Floyd family lawyer Ben Crump. For the eighth night, protesters continue to come out in thousands of cities across the US to demand justice for Mr. Floyd. But they were reportedly calmer, with fewer incidents of violence. And in other developments, President Donald Trump has tweeted that he has done more for black Americans, in fact, than any president in US history, apart from possibly Jefferson. And his Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, has gone public saying he does not support using the military to quash the protests. So lots to talk to our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks, about. Hi, Simon.
Hello, Kim.
Latest, the Minnesota Attorney General has announced new charges, more against Chauvin, and arrest warrants for the other three policemen.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the official announcement has not yet quite been made in Minnesota, but there are now court records showing that Officer Chauvin, he's the police officer who had his knee pressed against George Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, is now going to face a second degree murder charge, not a third degree murder charge. The difference there being that the second degree charge means that the authorities now believe they can prove that Officer Chauvin had the intention of killing George Floyd, that this was not an unintentional death, as the third degree charge formally laid against him presumed. And importantly, three other officers who attended the scene are now to be arrested and charged with aiding and abetting second degree murder. So they either already have been taken into custody or are about to be taken into custody. And we will find out in the course of the next few hours whether these developments in any way mollify protesters, certainly in Minneapolis, where the killing of Mr. Floyd occurred, and possibly in other parts of the country as well, because demonstrators for days have been saying that Officer Chauvin and the other police officers present at the scene ought to be facing more serious charges than had previously been brought.
And presumably the issue of intent would go to how long that knee was actually on the Mr. Floyd's neck.
Yeah, absolutely. Not least because for 3 minutes of that 8 3/4 minutes, Mr. Floyd was unresponsive, with members of the crowd on videotape all saying to Officer Chauvin, ease up in your treatment of him, at least check his pulse, see if you can get him standing up. He's suffering from a nosebleed. Something's going very wrong. All of those entreaties ignored by Officer Chauvin, with other police officers, presumably including some of those three now facing charges, threatening to pepper spray the crowd of onlookers that was recording those videos that then went viral on the internet.
Meanwhile, the US Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, has contradicted President Trump's suggestion that the military could be used to crack down on protesters. He wouldn't be long for the job then, would he?
You wouldn't think he'd be long for the job, would you, Kim? I mean, it's hard to overstate the drama of what's happened here this morning. Mark Esper, the defense secretary, and we'd all heard rumors for the last couple of days that he wasn't very comfortable with the gassing of protesters in Lafayette Park and the role that he'd played in that photo opportunity by President Trump at the church. Mark Esper taking to the podium at the Pentagon this morning and confirming that he will not support any move by President Trump to deploy troops on the streets of America to deal with looters, rioters, and protesters.
The option to use active duty forces in a law enforcement role should only be used as a matter of last resort and only in the most urgent and dire of situations. We are not in one of those situations now. I do not support invoking the Insurrection Act.
So is he longed for the job? That was the question that was put to Kayleigh McEnany a short while ago, the president's press secretary at the White House.
If he loses confidence in Secretary Esper, I'm sure you all will be the first to know.
But as of right now, he still does?
As of right now, Secretary Esper is still Secretary Esper, and should the president lose faith, we will all learn about that in the future.
So that sounded pretty lukewarm. Not lukewarm, the description that Kayleigh McEnany offered of the president's decision to take that walk across Lafayette Park after the gassing of protesters so that he could visit St. John's Church.
Going and standing by St. John's Church was a very important moment. We've seen presidents and leaders across the world who have had leadership moments and very powerful symbols that were important for a nation to see at any given time to show a message of resilience and determination. Like Churchill, we saw him inspecting the bombing damage. It sent a powerful message of leadership to the British people.
Churchillian leadership, Kim. That's what Donald Trump was engaged in on Monday.
Look, he did Lincoln and he did Churchill. It's extraordinary. What is the precedent for someone like the Secretary of Defense to rebut the president in this fashion? Has it happened before?
It's absolutely unprecedented. The president of the United States is also the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. Mark Esper reports to him and takes his orders from him. So too, by the way, does the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, who today put a letter out to every single member of the armed forces around the world, reminding them that they had taken an oath to defend the American Constitution. We all committed our lives, he wrote, to the idea that is America. We will stay true to that oath. So that's a very clear indication that he too has some big issues with President Trump's desire to use the US military. And we've learnt within the last 90 minutes or so that some of the US troops that were rushed to Washington earlier in the week to defend the White House and other key government buildings have now been told by the Pentagon to go back to their barracks. So one of the questions you've got to start asking here is Donald Trump still in charge of the Pentagon? Has he lost the Department of Defense to men like Mark Esper and General Mark Milley, who now appear pretty openly to be defying the president's wishes?
Cracker, you're not talking about a military coup, are you, Simon?
Well, you're talking about the military perhaps trying to uphold the rule of law and the construct of the American Constitution. I mean, if the Secretary of Defense says, I'm not going to send American troops out onto American streets, that's a massive challenge to the President of the United States. It seems impossible that Mark Esper ends this particular day still being Defense Secretary, unless we're all to conclude that Donald Trump is backing down on his threat to deploy the military in towns and cities across the country. Now, I've been covering Donald Trump since he started running for the presidency. He's never struck me as a man who's for backing down. But, you know, there's a precedent for everything, isn't there, Kim?
Churchill didn't back down.
Never, of course not. But Donald Trump is now saying he's pushing back, by the way, against the idea that he was hustled down into the bunker of the White House last Friday when protesters, the Secret Service worried, were about to pierce the perimeter of the building. Let's take a listen to what President Trump had to say about that on Fox News earlier today.
Well, it was a false report. I wasn't down. I went down during the day. And I was there for a tiny, little short period of time, and it was much more for an inspection. There was no problem during the day. These problems are during the night, not during the day. And I go down, I've gone down two or three times, all for inspection.
The press secretary was asked what it was that he had gone down there to inspect. Maintaining a Churchillian stiff upper lip of her own, she said that she couldn't answer the question because it involved security issues.
We've heard from, for example, Nebraska's Republican senator who says the mm-hmm. right to protest is sacrosanct, and he was against clearing out a peaceful protest for that now infamous photo opportunity that he said treats the word of God as a political prop. But what about other Republicans? Why are people being so quiet? Is it the election stupid?
There's only been one other Republican senator that has spoken out against President Trump, and that's Tim Scott from South Carolina, who is the only African-American member of the Republican caucus in the United States Senate. The rest of them were all filmed yesterday tramping into a lunch at the Senate and absolutely ignoring question after question after question that came from reporters about whether they backed President Trump. And the silence, I think, speaks volumes. I mean, it suggests that many of them are waiting to hear from their constituents to gauge how much public support President Trump has for moves that, on the face of it, absolutely violated the constitutional rights of those protesters to engage in a peaceful demonstration as they were doing in front of the White House. And also a sense that, once again, they have to decide just how far, as Republican members of the Senate, they are going to allow Donald Trump to hijack their party. Many of them are up for re-election later this year themselves. So they've got their own political battles to worry about before they worry about the battle for re-election being waged by President Trump.
Thank you, Simon. Simon Marks in Washington.